it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go again. Whether it's in the state or in this case across the country, math and reading skills for kids, not even close to where we would want them. In math, 12th graders had the lowest performance since 2005. This is from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, long regarded as kind of the gold standard. I'm assuming RFK Jr. doesn't agree with it, and he's going to fire people from it, but we'll find out that later. About Dave, a third of 12th graders who tested last year did not have basic reading skills. In math, nearly half of the test takers scored below the basic level, meaning they have not mastered a skill such as using percentages to solve real word problems. It's like they should go with you, and when a tip comes up, it's zero, so then they won't need it.
It's the easiest way to do it.
First of the kind released since the COVID pandemic completely changed education as we know it for a period of time. Adolescents who, without the evil virus, would have been in school. Then the debate on how long should they have been kept out, what each state did, and the lasting impact on these kids. Clearly, it has had an impact. But to suggest before the testing, oh, everything was great. Everything was fine. Is utter nonsense. What happens a lot, we have states will say, well, for you to graduate, you not only have to pass the required classes, but you have to have test scores at a certain level. Remember we tried that, and then we just kept lowering them and lowering them and lowering them or eliminating them because we would have had too many kids, 12th grade, who found a way to graduate but didn't measure up with the test scores. And I'm not saying the test scores tell everything. They certainly don't. We've had the conversation before about bias. We've had the conversation about timing. We've had the conversation of better judges, you know, whether it's quarters or semesters, that's a better reflection of true academic progress. Then we have the debate on parents and their involvement and what is going on at home and the single parent debate. We have the debate on teachers and tenure and longevity and can you fire them? Involvement of if the parents are uncomfortable with teachers, how much sway do they have? And then is it just, you know, petty bitterness because Sammy's not passing the class and you're mad? Then we have a massive shortage in special education funding. All these things, I don't have the perfect answer. I offer up a lot of topics where I say we should do A, B, and C. What should we do here? We just going to keep going this way? Where decade after decade, we're just going to look at test scores, and your girls are going to be there not that far from now. And maybe your girls are going to flourish, or maybe your girls are going to be in the area of whether it's reading and math, and we'll kind of shake our heads, but they'll still graduate. And some will go to college. Some you'll be like, did these test scores really matter? And others, it will have a factor. Now, in the AI world, who knows where we're going? But as long as we're testing and the scores continue to be, okay, pick your word, problematic, awful, troubling, what should we do? Simple question. What should we do to give kids a better opportunity to flourish? My kids went to public schools the entire time. Hunter and Griffin and Quentin, even with Quentin's challenges, I went to public schools my entire life in the Robbinsdale School District. This is no easy bashing of the public schools because somebody went to private schools in my family. Didn't. I think we need more experimenting, Dave. We can't keep doing the same thing. And if it causes less kids to attend traditional public schools, and then we run into funding issues, I get it. But shouldn't we give greater opportunity for charter schools? Shouldn't we give greater opportunity for individuals who want their kids to go to private schools but don't have the finances? Shouldn't we encourage more experimenting in the public schools? I'm not saying we have to blow up every single thing that makes up the core of our education. But if these numbers continue to be where they are at, and then we'll just have more candidates saying, if I get elected, they're going to change. Kristen Robbins. That's one of her calling cards, if she runs against Tim Walz or not. By the way, tomorrow on the docket, at some point, when is Tim Walz going to make his decision? Let's discuss that, because I think the fair ended. We're trying to confirm, but I think the fair end.
Last Bronco pup just got sold.
Yeah. So what should we do? Let's pause right here. I would love a number of phone calls on this. I would love a number of texts. You can send me ideas where I think, geez, that's ludicrous. But maybe we need to try it. It's just, to me, it's somewhat analogous to the number of mass shootings and mass killings in our country, where we're so entrenched in our positions that we don't want to try anything different because it's an affront to what I totally believe in. So let's see more states trying different things, including us, where often we have better test scores. Let's not forget, many, many, many years, our state, the disparity between whites and kids of color, is the worst in the country. So maybe put our shoulders back in our sockets from patting ourselves on the back. What would you do to try to allow more kids to have success, including, as one judge of it, test scores? Or are these just you just don't believe in these as an apt way to evaluate? And considering what's going on with AI, we shouldn't spend that much time on it anyway. That's pretty defeatist. To me, that seems pretty avoiding the issue by just saying, the world's going to change so much it doesn't matter. What do you want to say? Phone calls and texts. 651-461-9226. I'll give an example of something where you can at least explore something to see if it's worth the change. Nobody is excited to pay their car insurance. No one is excited to pay their home insurance. These rates are not cheap. They're a pain, but they're required. You need them. They are essential. And there are times you may feel like, for years and years I'm paying this and I never use it, and then an awful accident happens. Or, you know, it's raining out, a storm takes place, and there's hail damage on your roof, and you don't want to pay for it. That's why you have insurance. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's worth it to go with my friends with American Family and Amber Scholl, who's running a local office. an office I've been associated with since I moved back long, long time ago. Amber's been associated with the office for 15 years and run into the last few years and getting great feedback from WCCO listeners. So thank you, including a number of people switching to TeamShoal.com. It's worth it. TeamShoal.com, again, with American Family. Go online, sign up, have a conversation. Amber, a member of the team, and run through what you have, and they might say, well, you're in good shape. Or they might say, we can help you, and here's why. TeamShoal.com, the place I've been using that office for 35 years.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We still haven't given out the Twins tickets, correct?
Stay tuned for the thing. Hear the sounder. Be call it three.
You'll hear the sounder. Twins-Yankees next Tuesday. Jamie Yuccas in 15. Another report with disastrous test scores. What should we do to improve overall education? We have the debate endlessly. It's different from district to district, school to school, state to state. But when presented these nationwide test scores, a part of the pandemic, where many of the kids struggled, some mightily, are we overreacting? Maybe that's part of the conversation. But to me, too often, Dave, we see this. You get comments. You get a superintendent on the Department of Education, our emphasis. And I want them to try. Because if we just keep doing the same thing, it's not good enough. But I would love to see more results where enough districts have tried it, enough states have tried it, and there is a discernible difference in what is taking place.
Something has to change. That's clear. I mean, it's if we can't blame the pandemic anymore, in my opinion. It's been 5.5 years since COVID hit us.
Yeah.
All right, that's plenty of time to say, okay, COVID was hard on a lot of kids.
Okay, for the comeback, for the alternative, for some to say, well, my kid was in eighth grade, and it had a significant effect on him or her that I never could have envisioned. And if you saw my child, you would see what I'm talking about. You say what?
I'd say I'm sure it did. But we've still had 5 years to teach them basic math and reading.
Yeah. I think it's fair. I think it's very fair. Jake has called in plenty of texts also, 651-461-9226. Thank you, Jake, for listening. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys, great topic. Thank you for bringing it up. I am a member of the St. Francis School District, but I do not speak for the St. Francis School District. I'm only one vote of seven. And then I also have a couple of kids that have gone through the district. I have a senior right now who's just absolutely killing it. I have a daughter who's doing really great in school and then postgraduate in college. You know, we get a lot of complaints that, you know, the schools are failing me. And I keep asking some of these parents, well, what are you doing, you know, about this? Because you know, we got to do our job. I'm not at all excusing that as an institution, but boy, oh boy, parents, whether your kids are doing whatever they're doing, please give them the love and support and necessity you can, the time. And I don't just mean parents, but whoever the guardians are, that's kind of a part of it too. But I just think that, you know, the results would be welcomed. We are currently, we just got our results back and we're like 3% higher than the state average. And so we're supposedly supposed to celebrate that. But to tell you the truth, it's still horrendous. And to be fair, scores were bad before the pandemic. You can go back before the pandemic.
Well,
and
yeah,
see
well
things
before,
were already going that way. In my opinion, we're not going to move the needle unless we get more parental buy-in, because even in these times where overall it's showing up to being absolutely horrible, there are shining stars. There are people who are still, you know, doing their job. And if they're a C student, you know, some of them get B's, and that's awesome and should be celebrated. And if they're, you know, a C student and they get B's, well, they need to, you know, we need to hold them accountable and have a little bit more work in that regard. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, continued results like this, everything's on the table. And there's also so many facets to this, it's mind-boggling. But yep. I would say in the meantime, every parent, every family needs to make sure they're doing their part, or just sit back and complain about it, and your kid's going to come out a complete dunderhead, and that ain't going to do anyone any good. So
Jake,
do your part, parent. Help us out.
Really good call. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's one thing in life, Dave, and it's with your kids and other aspects. If you're just going to point fingers and blame and not adjust on your own, or blame something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago and not just move on, that's not really the proper way to approach life.
No, we can do better.
And there's too many people who do that on a regular basis. Steve has called in. Thank you, Steve, for listening. You're on WCCO.
Oh, hi, Chad. Good subject. I think that the biggest problem in education has been a resistance to incorporating technology into teaching. You know, if you work in the private sector, even parts of government, you've seen your operations transform dramatically and become so much more efficient because of websites, computers. You don't see that in education. And I've had this conversation, and there is like a fear that that's going after the teacher. And the only metric you hear about is student-to-teacher ratio.
Yep.
And, yes, you could probably have less teachers if you have more computer-aided technology. The State Department, the military, when they teach a language, they're using something like Burlett's, okay? And that might be even more effective. But I have had this conversation. There is resistance. But you will also hear from some people that really look at it in an enlightened fashion that some kids do learn better when there's technology involved. And he talked about earlier, the earlier caller, about parental buy-in. What a great way to get the parents involved is you can get them right on the platforms that are teaching your kids. And it doesn't have to be for every kid, but it has to be part of the equation.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Let's keep the calls going. You want to join in, you can. A number of texts have come in, too. I'll read a number of those after this next call. 651-461-9226. Patty, you're on the Home of the Twins CCO. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi. I'm a substitute teacher. Pre-COVID, it was a totally different job experience than post-COVID. And I've taken a job at Lund's now, and I still do sub once in a while, but it's a completely different situation when you're subbing. And I did a lot of special ed subbing. And the last room that I subbed in St. Paul, you know, there was two aides that were brand new and no teacher. In walks me, and there's about 12 special needs kids. And it's just chaos. And you've got a 9-year-old kind of help diapering a 5-year-old. And it was absolute mayhem. And that's when I could lose my license if something went wrong, which it will in those situations. But yeah, I mean, they're not funding it. They don't, especially special ed, they're not funding it.
Yeah, it's awful.
And the teachers are more exhausted than the kids. If I work in a regular school, regular education, the behaviors are just unbelievable. Like, you know, you'll say to a kid, you know, it's time for math, put the phone away, and he'll just look at you like unfazed. Like, what the hell are you going to do about it? You're a sub. What, you know, there's no, it never used to be like that, you know?
Thank you, Patty. I appreciate the call. So listen, Patty has lived this. So I'm not taking away from what Patty witnessed. Okay. That legit. Do a lot of people believe there's more defiance from the kids now than there used to be? There are a lot of people believe that. Okay. I graduated high school. I know. A little bit ago. to suggest there wasn't defiance back then is silliness. There was. Was it as pervasive? I honestly don't know. Because I think it is very convenient for a lot of people, the further we get away from something, to just act like it was flawless, it was a well-oiled machine. Everyone sat there with rapt attention and paid close attention to every word that was said. Well, we know that isn't true. We also know that when I graduated in 1983, this little contraption here wasn't in my hand, the phone, or all the other distractions which are out there, which are part of it, which at times empowers kids to be even more defiant and to be more of a jackass, to be honest. Gives them a further platform. I will say on the special education side, because of Quinton, we visited a number of schools. Decided to stay in the Wayzata School District, the most misnamed school district in the state, because there's one school in Wayzata.
It's a great school.
Though. Every other school is in Plymouth.
Great school.
Yeah, our kids attended the Plymouth School District. And because what is called Wayzata High School, but should be called Plymouth High School, I was so concerned about Quinton. But the number of brilliant special education teachers, whether they were 21 or 61, we were lucky. Made the decision to move there, had some finances available if we needed to move. Seeing Quinton interact with the mainstream kids was spectacular. And I'm sure there are many kids who make comments about my son, and that would just crush me if I heard those comments. So it's all over the place. Special education funding is embarrassingly low. And we have this cross-section of individuals, including in our state, Dave, where English is the second language. And right now, we demonize so much of immigration when there's so many of our friends and neighbors who have been here legally, who are decent, kind individuals who work near you or go to businesses and they help you out, or they're your neighbors. And even, by the way, some, oh, my God, people have been here for 20 years, didn't come here legally, and they're also successful. But when English is the second language, that makes it a lot harder. When you're certain teachers and you're in there with 31 kids when it should be 22, that makes it harder. It is an incredible challenge. It is so essential to what we do. I thought we had three excellent callers. There's a lot of very good techs, too. I just continue to emphasize, I hope we keep trying different ideas, not giving up core principles in total, but we willing to have more schools take and go to different ideas, including if, as Patty suggested, or no, maybe it was Steve, that a lot of teachers have been there for a while, I don't want to do this. I've been here for a while, I don't have to do this. I think there are teachers probably on both sides of that, don't you, who are willing to embrace it?
Sure.
But to act like there aren't teachers and saying, well, what does this mean to my future?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's too much of that.
Natural to think it.
Because there's too much of that in other businesses where all of us might work, where things are always changing, and it can't be just, well, we're just going to stay status quo. You better be in a very unique business if you just stay status quo and you're fine. Thank you for the a number of excellent phone calls and texts. Jamie Ukas joins us after traffic and weather.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.